You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
This day in history, taking us back to 1982 for a conflict between Argentina and the United Kingdom over the disputed Falkland Islands. So this brought to an end a fairly friendly relationship between the two countries, which in England you had Thatcher, and in Argentina you had this military junta.
Boo.
Yeah, anyway, Lachlan. So in Argentina, this military junta had taken power and had forged a pretty good relationship with the West, as opposed to the predecessor, which was overthrown, the Peronist government, named after former President Juan Perón, who rose to power in the 1940s.
Returned to Washington is American Ambassador Braden, outspoken opponent of Argentina's military dictatorship, now named Assistant Secretary of State. Of Argentina's populace, Braden says,
I would hope that the American people understand that the Argentinos are genuinely democratic and sincerely our friends.
The Argentina Mr. Braden left behind was the scene just a few days before of an overwhelming demonstration in Buenos Aires against the totalitarian regime of strongman Colonel Juan Perón that has ruled the country for more than 2 years. Basta, enough, was the theme of this Liberty Day, as half a million men and women of all classes and political parties linked arms to defy Perón's official warning and call for free elections and a democratic Argentina. Many of these demonstrators were later jailed, but the people of Argentina are not likely to give up easily now. Colonel Perón and President Farrell, Argentina's military bosses, have suppressed freedom of speech and continued to imitate fascist techniques despite the growing antagonism of Argentina's people. Only their goose-stepping army still supports them. Today, as Argentina's populace demands a restoration of democracy, the world awaits the inevitable outcome.
So an election was held, and despite the opposition of the United States, Perón would be elected. However, after a decade, he would be removed from power by force.
Argentina hails the downfall of a tyrant, ending 10 years of tumult. Pictures of deposed dictator Juan Domingo Perón are hurled from windows in Buenos Aires, surrendered after 4 days of civil war. Crowds gather around bonfires in the capital city, where the symbols of the Perón regime are consumed in the flames. Meanwhile, the iron-fisted dictator finds political sanctuary aboard a Paraguayan gunboat. A gutted downtown building is the last monument to the most trying decade in Argentine history. This was the final stronghold of 600 Peronistas, who were blasted out by rebel artillery when a military junta took over the nation. Jubilant thousands coursed through the streets, marking the end of a government that systematically crushed all segments of Argentine society. Huge crowds gather in front of the presidential palace, where the rebel leader, General Eduardo Lunardi, 59, becomes provisional president of Argentina. An old foe of Perón, he organized army, navy, and air force units to revolt. For Argentinos, there is now the promise of free election soon, following a decade of tyranny.
Perón would make a comeback, however, being re-elected president in the 1970s before dying a few years into the job.
Grief and hysteria in Argentina. This was the scene in the capital, Buenos Aires, after the death of President Juan Domingo Perón. Thousands of young Peronistas filled the city center to chant the old political slogans in tribute to their dead caudillo. For many, the sense of loss was deep and personal. Juan Perón was arguably the most powerful political personality the Western world has produced since the Second World War. In Argentina, he was a legend long before he returned from exile last year. he generated a fanatical support among the great majority of Argentinians who had boundless faith in him and his abilities. At this rally, his last public appearance only 3 weeks before his death, over 100,000 people acclaimed his decision not to resign over the country's continuing political violence. The burden of leadership now passes to the dead president's widow, Maria Estela, popularly known as Isabelita. Only days before her husband's death, she had announced, as vice president, her takeover of all executive functions. Now she is president in her own right, the first woman head of state in Latin America, a position of eminence not even attained by Perón's first wife, the legendary Evita.
That was part one of The Stay in History. Part two will return after a quick break.
This is such a bop. Ha! Yeah, totally, a huge bop. Like, I thought it was an anthem or a jam, but it's definitely a bop.
Get up to speed on Totally Wired with Jess Fu. New releases, pre-releases, and an in-depth new album run-through every week on Longplayer, thanks to New Zealand On Air Music. Totally Wired, 11 to 2 on Saturday afternoons, only on 95 BFM.
When I am so free to find me.
Got any notes?
Yes, we now return to this day in history. When we left off, Argentinian President Juan Perón had died, leaving his wife to take over.
It was clear long before Perón's death that he was unable to heal the divisions in Argentine society, or indeed even in his own political movement. He was being forced to move more and more to the right, despite his assertions that Peronism was basically a left-wing movement. The time has come, he told his supporters, to stop shouting Perón and to start defending him. It would be difficult to imagine a worse situation for his widow to inherit. The power struggle within the movement is likely to intensify now the leader has gone. To meet such an emergency would demand a political maturity and experience which few people believe Señora Perón possesses. The big question now, of course, is will Peronism itself wither away? It survived an 18-year vacuum when its leader was exiled, but can it survive his death? Much of the movement's dynamism was generated by the personal contact between leader and led. That relationship has now been broken forever, and the result may be the end of a unique political epoch for Argentina.
In 1976, Isabel was removed by the military with the tacit approval of the United States. The two countries would split, however, over the invasion of the Falkland Islands.
I think in the 1970s, Ben. Is Argentina quite good at football, or is it the 80s?
Yeah, I was trying to look for archives, and it was all like, I was searching Argentina in the 70s, or World Cup.
And the World Cup is coming up. Who are you supporting?
I don't care, really.
Jemima, you got view who you're going to support? We're not in it, of course.
I don't know some of the teams but I don't know anyone.
I'll go with
just pick a country.
Germany, because they usually win.
Are they the countries?
Yes, yeah.
I thought we were going like World Cup
Oh, God.
This is really derailed.
Yeah. New Zealand. No, they're
we're not in it. We're not even in it.
Just go with Germany. Just go with Germany. They're good right now.
You know, who are you supporting? Let us know. 5395.
Plus,
anyway, sorry.
If Germany wins, that's really going to annoy Putin.
Yeah. Well, I've derailed it. So here is something about this day in history.
Indeed.
It would appear the sun has set on yet another corner of the British Empire. This one far down in the South Atlantic. Argentina today invaded and seized the Falkland Islands, which have been under British rule for nearly 150 years. Britain promptly broke diplomatic relations with Argentina, sent several of Her Majesty's warships steaming south, and appealed to the United Nations. It all seems like something out of the 18th century, but the British, and for that matter the Americans, are not amused.
On this day in history, 1982, Argentinian troops in the Falklands surrendered.
As word of the Argentine defeat leaked out in Buenos Aires, thousands of demonstrators began to gather outside the presidential palace. President Galtieri was scheduled to make a speech trying to explain the Falkland developments. But the demonstrator, as many as 5,000 of them, began screaming, "Traitor, traitor," and "This is the end of the military dictatorship." Police moved in with clubs and tear gas. They dispersed the crowd. Some television crew members were knocked to the ground. Earlier in the day, when the crowd was smaller, the question was the same. Will the junta last? And if so, for how long?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.